Father, I do really, really acknowledge you, and I know without you I am absolutely nothing. I know without you we can do absolutely nothing. But I'm so grateful that with you nothing is impossible. I'm so grateful for this opportunity I have to speak to your children, your precious children. And because of that, I'm confident that you will give utterance to us, and you will give us listening hearts and listening ears, and you will cause us to speak as of the oracles of God, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so, Lord, I take authority over this atmosphere right now, over my mind, over this place that I'm sitting in, and over everyone who's listening and thinking about listening, that, Lord, there will be clarity, no distractions, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, again, thank you. When Pastor gave this overall topic about the glory, manifesting the glory of God, any of you who's old school will know that this concept of the glory of God has been around, and I'll touch on some of those old definitions that we've had. This concept has been around with us for a long time. When I was younger and in Pentecostal movement, it was always the glory of God, the glory of God. But the older I get, the more I see that we have to kind of go beyond just the celebration of the glory, but understand how it can be made manifest in our lives. And so let me first start off with a comment by a gentleman called Bill Johnson. That's the very next slide. And he makes this statement, and I'm going to come back to it as we go along. He says, the church has been gathered together for decades around a sermon. And it says, Israel camped around the presence. And it says, and we know that there's some dramatic shifts that are going to be taking place now in how we do life and how we do church. And he continues to put this down. He says, the presence of God is the greatest gift we have. To shut everything else down because of this is absolutely worth it to me. It is the joy of our heart to celebrate him personally. The Lord Jesus Christ, for whatever reason, decides to show up. And so this whole thing that we're talking about now, if you go to the next slide, I need to explain something. And I'm going ahead of myself by talking about Bill Johnson's comment, because I'm still going to come back to it. But I just wanted that to be at the back of your mind, that the Old Testament, they depended on nothing but the presence of God. And that word, the presence of God, is actually the manifest presence of God. There's a big difference between, that's why if you see on the screen, it says, what's the difference between the manifest presence of God and God's omnipresence? And this is from God Question, so you can easily get it yourself, although I have it downloaded here for you if you need to. Being omnipresent means he's everywhere at the same time. He's omnipresent, but doesn't necessarily mean that he is in manifestation. And so God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are omnipresent. And that's why wherever we are in the world right now, he's right there with us. But just because he's around us right now doesn't mean that he is manifesting himself. And so you got to understand that through the whole scripture, that there's such a movement of God that I'm actually on the fourth or fifth slide by now, so you probably have to move a little bit. Yeah. You got to understand what's happening here. Throughout the Bible, it seems as if God walked in dispensation. For instance, in the Old Testament, you kind of find Moses speaking to God the Father. That's kind of pretty obvious, where it's almost the encounters that he had was with God the Father. And then you had this constant, you know, commandments, instructions, you know, I'll show you my behind, you know, at the far side of the wilderness near Mount Horeb, and so on and so forth. And then In the middle ground before the New Testament, you see Jesus walking with his disciples, and you can see that in John chapter 1 verse 14, where the Bible says the Word became flesh and he dwelt amongst us, you know. And so and then finally you now get the last of the current dispensation we are on, and that's the Holy Spirit, who was manifest to believers in the upper room. Now you got to understand what is happening. These were physical manifest. Not, I don't want to, maybe I shouldn't use the word physical. But some of these manifestations manifested themselves in the natural. So it wasn't just God is present here, but you could feel it, you could sense it, and he could touch you tangibly. And so when we're talking about this concept that we're asking about right now, when we're talking about this concept that we're looking at now, we've got to understand that this manifestation we're talking about has to do with not just God being everywhere, but God being manifest in our lives, in our circumstances, in our nation, in our family, in our businesses, and in the things we're supposed to do. And just for the sake of a bit of clarity, I'm skipping a lot of my slides. I just want to go straight to a slide. I don't know what number it is. I apologize. But I'm going straight to the slide that talks about it changes color and changes layout. I love this slide. It's not my slide. I think I attributed the owner of the slide at the end. It says, the church is answering questions which have not been asked and doing it in a language which has not been understood. And it's doing it in places where nobody is listening. You have to understand why this is so important to me at this particular stage. First and foremost, I just moved to Canada, and it's not the same as preaching when I was back in Ibadan. It's difficult to have anybody listen to us the way we listen to each other. For instance, let me give you an example. As I arrived in Canada, there was a huge crusade taking place in the city of Ibadan, where I come from, which is about 150 kilometers away from Lagos. And I remember something interesting that when people began to send me pictures of the crusade, there were thousands and thousands of people in the crusade ground. People who were desperate for healing, people who were desperate for resources, people who were desperate because they couldn't afford any, there was no other hope for them to go. And yet, if you try to do such a crusade here, it has to be completely rewired and completely refocused, because the reason why a lot of people come for crusades back at home is simply because we don't have medical services, we don't have security, we don't have all the things available to everybody, we don't have welfare programs. And so when you come into a different society, you would understand that it's not the same thing. And so what's very important to people is not what our circumstances are, but how do we manifest God in those circumstances in order to be able to bring people to God. And that's why I like what this gentleman says, that the church is answering questions people are not asking. It's doing it in the language which is not understood. And it's doing it in places where nobody's listening. I love that. But the next slide says, what do we understand to be God's glory? And I want to spend some time just talking about that. I really don't, this is not where I'm going, but people have to understand this glory concept so that it's not, and understand why it's so real to us today. So let's go. What do we understand by glory, and how does God express his glory, and how do we glorify God? Now, like I said, this is those of us who went old school, we know that the word glory in the Old Testament is kabod. It has to do with weight, a heaviness. It has to do with, I don't want to just use the word heaviness. It has to do with a huge overwhelming presence, or a huge overwhelming power that comes over us. And then this gentleman says it, the Holman Bible Dictionary says, the weighty importance and shining majesty which accompanies God's presence. Remember in Isaiah, where when the glory came into the temple, nobody could stand. That's what it is in the Old Testament. That's what glory is. All right? In the New Testament, it's also translated in Greek about as doxa. It has to do with the bright radiance of God. And, you know, people tell us that, not the people, the Bible tells us that there will be no sun, moon, and stars, but that the light that will run the world will be the glory of God. Can you imagine? That the glory of God is so powerful that it's more powerful than the sun right now, that is completely holding everybody at keeping all of us alive. People say if we're 1 kilometer closer to the sun, we'll burn up. They say if we're 1 kilometer away from the sun, we will freeze. And so there's another power, there's another brilliance, another radiance that is greater than the sun, you know? And that's what's going to give us light when we get to New Jerusalem and so on and so forth. But you have to see how glory is manifested in the Bible, because I need to get to you very quickly. I'm just trying to do this to lay a foundation. The Bible talks about the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hand. This is an aspect of glory we also don't see. There's something about glory that comes out in the way heaven is, the heavens are, or the skies are. You know, you look at it and you see what God, and you see what God has created. Sometimes it can go all the way to how he makes a flower beautiful, or how he makes a butterfly awesome. All those are a reflection of his glory, you know? And then you now go to another place where you find God, Exodus chapter 16, verse 10, while Aaron was speaking to the whole Israel community, they looked around the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord that appearing in the cloud. So you can see, glory of God is reflected in the heavens, is reflected in the skies, and we can all see it. Everybody can see it, believer and unbeliever alike. But notice, it becomes more personal here. While Aaron was speaking to the whole of the Israel community, they looked around the desert and there was a glory appearing. This is now a manifestation of that glory. This is him. This is where they come in, and we have that counter. And then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So it's like this glory we're talking about is that thing. This glory we're talking about is not omnipresent, but it's a manifestation. And it's that manifestation that brings change, or that brings blessings, or that makes us unique. I'm going to say something in a minute, but let me finish this. All right? Moses asks God for his presence. It says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then Moses goes on in the next verse and says, show me your glory. Now, you need to be very careful here. He says, show me your glory. Show me your kabod. Show me your witness. Show me your shining glory. Show me the things you have done, who you are, what you are, how powerful you are. And then the Bible says that God says, okay, you know what? No one has ever seen me, as in physically seen me, you know, and lived. You know what? I'm going to hide you in the rock and I'm going to cover you with, and I'm going to show you my back parts. And of course, why does God want to show anybody his buttocks? That's not what he was talking about. He's saying, I want to show you what I've done before. I want to show you how I have made things manifest. I have glorified myself on earth. And I believe in that moment in time, Moses is allowed to go backwards in time to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That's why he was able to write it. And then he says, in the eternal past, or as the Bible the Bible puts it, in the beginning, God created heavens and the earth, and the earth was void. And God made him see all what had happened, man is showing him his glory, all the way he created the earth, how he put the earth, how he separated the sun, the waters from the sea, and all that. That's glory. And that's the beauty of this God that we live in. And then look at what the Bible talks about now concerning Jesus. It says, that eternal word became flesh. This is John chapter 1, verse 14. And made his dwelling amongst us. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So you can see again, I'm just trying to show you the play between huge, glorious things as the creation of mankind, and then that personal work that also refers or reflects or demonstrates the glory of the Lord. And this is a typical example. The Word became flesh and he dwelt amongst us. And when he dwelt amongst us, we have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came. And those glory were manifested in the healings that he did, in the miracles that he did, in the turning of water to wine that he did, in the touching of the blind man, in the healing of the leper, in the love that he showed, in the raising of the dead. You can see that that's what they're talking about here. All right? And so now the Bible now tells us that we, you and I, were created for God's glory. Everyone who's called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and whom I made. This is Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. So this is where we begin to come home to where we sit. This is where we begin to come home to where we sit. If, now please listen to me, if I'm right today about the concept of glory, if I'm right today about how Israel depended on the presence of God to do things. How far away are we from the manifestation of His glory? Because we tend to separate our lives to church on Sunday. I've seen some wonderful ushers in church. I've seen them serve. I've seen some of them even kneel down for pastors. I've seen them take rubbish from their pastors. I've seen them smile even when people are insulting them in church. I've seen them demonstrate a unique kind of love. And then I find out later that they're beating their wives at home and are terrible fathers to their children or mothers to their children. And that's where the confusion lies. This concept of glory has never, not throughout Scripture, been limited to church or the things we do to church. It's God wants to manifest Himself through us. That word manifest, I remember there's a joke from South Africa when the pastor of Rema South Africa said his son used to follow him to church, and every time they would talk about manifestation, and the boy couldn't understand what they were talking. Finally, one day he went up to his father and said, "Dad, when is the man from the station going to come?" And now there's a concept there. I like it. I like the idea, because that word manifestation is, it comes into view. It comes into action. It comes into, let's say you have a headache and you take Tylenol or whatever you guys take in the UK, or Panadol that we take in Nigeria. The manifestation of the Panadol or the Tylenol comes when the headache disappears. And so this concept of the manifest glory of God is not something you reserve for heaven. It's not something you keep away. It's, how do I manifest? Look at what it says here in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24. Declare His glory among the nation and His marvelous deeds among His people. All peoples. Beautiful. All right? Look at what it says in the next slide. Glorify the Lord with me. My lips will glorify you. I will praise Him with song and glory. This one we have perfected. This one we're pretty good at. We know how to glorify God with our lips. We're pretty good. The music we played, what we just played this morning, and so on and so forth. You know? The angels themselves sang glory to God in heaven. This is something we've perfected. Then look at what happens with Mary when she's told she's going to give birth to Jesus. My soul glorifies the Lord. So then glorifying the Lord with your song, the shepherds returned glorifying God, you know? But let's switch it a little bit. Jesus and Lazarus. It says, this illness will not end up in dead. It is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified. You see how it switches again from this light-aired thing that we talk about most of the time, about, oh, the glory, but it comes down to manifestation. In the case of Lazarus, the manifestation came when he was raised from the dead. I just want to challenge you. Now, look at what Jesus himself said. He says, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you do and you gave to me to do. I was in Liverpool a long time. Is it in Manchester? Not Liverpool. Long time before your church was planted. Did you believe that? I was in Manchester, a very young man. There's a beautiful library there, a museum there. And I remember as a young man, I don't think I was even married. I just come out of university. I came down to Manchester to do some business. And this is 1980. I shouldn't tell you the date, so that you don't date me. It's 1984 or so. And I remember walking into this library and museum and seeing the picture. I don't really know the name of the picture anymore, but the picture had the children of Israel leaving Egypt in the desert, and it illustrated the pillar of fire at night. It was painted by some British artist from, it was, I think it was well over 50 years, 60 years, 70 years old. And this is me, a young Christian at that time in 1984. I just sat in front of this painting for 1 hour. I couldn't move. I had nobody to share it with. We didn't have telephones, mobile phones, the way we have them today. So I couldn't take a photograph. There's nobody to share, but I just sat there just looking at that painting and seeing the thousands of people under the pillar of fire by night. Beautifully illustrated, 1 hour. I think I was even there longer than that. I just sat there, just looking. That was a painting that manifested the glory of the Lord. It was a painting that manifested the glory of the Lord. Now, let me take you to another extreme that you would need to understand. I was also in Rwanda. This was about 3 or 4 years ago. I went to the museum, the Holocaust Museum in Rwanda, to visit, and it was horrible. It was just horrible. It was horrible. But when you walk through the museum, it's beautifully done. It's beautifully illustrated. It's scary to see man's wickedness to man. But as you get towards the end of the museum tour, they take you to a place where they now summarized all the Holocaust that have taken place in the world. They put the Jewish one, they put the one that happened in Africa, the one that the French did, I can't remember to which nation. They just put all the different Holocaust stories. And when I got to the one that had to do with the Jewish, and I was shocked that one of my heroes, Martin Luther, his writing was one of the materials that was used by the German people at that time, the German Nazis, as justification for killing the Jews. Again, I sat there for 1.5 hours. I couldn't move because I was seeing the manifestation of man's wickedness to man. So this concept of manifesting glory, it's not just limited to God. It also happens with wickedness of men. It also happens with the goodness of men. I remember at the turn of the century, Kenneth Higgins telling a story about how in one of the Pentecostal churches, people had not fallen under the power for such a long time. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came. There was a revival. One of the women in the church fell down under the power of God, and she was on the ground for almost 8 to 12 hours, speaking in tongues, just on the ground there. And people said it was the devil. People said it was the devil that was possessing her. And she said, the pastor was wise enough to say, well, I don't know if it's God, and I don't know if it's the devil. But one thing I know, that whoever is responsible, when she gets up, that person will get the glory. And they waited 12 hours. They had to put a heater, like a space heater that we use today. They had to put something very similar beside the woman because they were afraid she was going to freeze to death lying on the floor. But the interesting thing was that 12 hours later, when she came to, the first thing she did was praise God and tell of her story about how she was walking around heaven. Now, this is the interesting thing. She gave glory to God because of that particular manifestation. And so that's really what I wanted to bring to you today. In the same way, the Bible says, let your light shine for others, that they may see your deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So it's not limited. You see, this is the point I'm trying to make. Manifesting glory is not limited to singing songs and feeling good about it or looking holy. And that's where we feel we missed it many times, you know? And then look at what it says here. In the next one, John chapter 15, verse 8. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit. Much fruit here in this particular context was actually in the context of answered prayer. When you pray and you get results, you bring glory to God. But I also believe we can take this. When you do your work well, when you are effective, when you solve problems, when you are manifesting, you bring glory to God. and you're showing yourselves to be his disciple. This is, we need to come back to these things. That's how we manifest to the world. You've got to be so good that unbelievers who hate God have no choice but to see the glory of God in you. I was telling some of my past colleagues here in Canada, we met on Monday to review a few things. I was talking to some of my colleagues, and I said to them, when I went to the Ukraine to see Sunday Adelaja, we got there on a Sunday. We arrived at about 3 a.m. in the morning. So we just had a bath, and by 7 o'clock, we were already in church. And when we got there, shocked to see in that church, the first thing they did was an altar call. And over 150 people showed up for that altar call. And I said, how is this possible? In all my life, you preach a sermon, you do an altar call, and people give their life to Christ. So Sunday, like I told me, no, that's not how we do it here. Monday, Friday, we have people who work in bars, who work in barbing salons, who work in hotels, who work in the offices. And all they've done is pray and pray and pray for people in their offices to experience God. And so sometimes these people will walk up to us in their offices and say, there's something about you, I need to tell you about my problem. And then he says some of our members will pray for them and then their problem will be solved. Some of our members will counsel them and they will find the pathway. Some of them, without them going to them, it wasn't as if it was the people who initiated it, because there will be a manifest presence of God that will come upon these people that will make them want to talk to somebody about God. And he says, these people will now tell them about our church when they finished all this, and then on Sunday they come. And because we know they won't understand the sermon if they are not born again, we first make it our duty to get them saved before we release them. That's God manifesting himself. That's God manifesting himself. Well, we're about to get into the end of this part. Now, if we are children and we are heirs of God, co-heirs with Christ, if we did share in his sufferings in order that we may share in his glory. That's why the suffering is talking about here now is not punishment. It's the inconvenience. It's the fact that you make sacrifices for people. It's the fact that you take time to pray, you do all that. It's not a limited stuff like that. So I just wanted to explain that. And now I'm going to take you back to where I started from. I only have about 5 or 6 minutes. I'm inviting the beautiful presence of God to please come in manifestation so that we can begin to feel it. Wish we could have some music. That usually helps. But that's one of the things we normally missed out on. Remember what happened to Elisha? And when he was ministering, I think I always mix them up, Elisha or Elijah, when the two kings walked up to him and asked him for direction and says, I need a minstrel. Because when the minstrel starts to play, the presence comes down. The presence comes down. And then what happens? Is able to hear God better. I believe that's going to happen to us right now. Let's go back to Bill Johnson. You know, camped around his presence. Remember, his presence is his manifest presence. Not just his presence. I know he's here, but I want to feel his manifest presence. I want to feel him for who he is. There's a lady who wrote a book. I've forgotten the name, and she completely had no Bible. She only knew what was right and wrong by the presence of God. She says when the presence lifts, she knows she's doing something wrong. When it comes, she knows she's doing something right. Now let me ask you a stupid question. And you need to understand this. The Holy Spirit comes upon us to physically manifest. That's why the whole world is lying in travail, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. What do you think they're waiting for? They're waiting for the manifestation of God through his sons. And the Bible says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And one of the things about being led by the Spirit, he doesn't talk as much as we think he does, but he directs. And it's usually by his presence, his manifest presence, and when he speaks to us, and by the inward witness, and by all the things that come with it. Now I come from Africa where we carry buckets on our head, where women and men carry buckets on their head without holding it. They just have this little thing, I can't remember what they call it. They put it on their head, and then they put the bucket on it, and they walk around miles carrying the bucket, but every time they do the bucket, every time they walk, it's their walk is designed to support that bucket from falling. The same way the Holy Ghost comes upon us, and we're supposed to walk in such a way that His manifest presence stays with us all day long, directing us, giving us utterance, speaking to us about circumstances, solving problems, providing solutions, helping us. That's supposed to be what we're supposed to carry. You will walk, if you had a dove sitting on your head and you didn't want the dove to get off, you won't yell, you won't slap your wife, you won't beat anybody, you won't curse from the place of your car. If you had that dove sitting upon you and you had a problem, you would consult with that dove. I just want to leave this with you. That's what I want to leave with you this morning, or this evening, or this night, wherever you are. The world is waiting for this manifestation we're talking about, both the one we get out of song and singing, but the one of the earth, of the glory of God being revealed on it, but He also wants a manifestation. The last time I spoke to this church at the prayer meeting, I showed them that the whole world is groaning. I showed them that we are groaning. I'm showing them that Jesus is groaning, and then the Holy Spirit is groaning within us for one purpose alone, that all things can work together for good. That's what I want to leave with you. It's very interesting that when Jesus came to the mountaintop, the Bible says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Up till that particular time, and that's found in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. Up to that particular time, He had not performed a miracle. And this is what always amuses me about people. We think miracles are signs that we're good Christians. No, Jesus had not. That had to do with character development. But Jesus could do nothing until the Holy Ghost came upon Him. John says, "The one whom you see the Holy Ghost come upon and abide and remain." Scary, isn't it? Scary. And when He was baptized with water in John chapter 1, verse 32, "I saw the Spirit descending above like a and remained upon Him." The Holy Spirit Himself, who inspired the scriptures, describing His relationship with the Son and the Son's relationship with Him in these words, "And He remained on Him." This manifest presence of God is meant to remain on us. And that's how we manifest ourselves to the world. That's how we show the glory of God on the earth. Now, if I'm on the pulpit, it's a different thing. I'll have the manifestation as I minister. But if you're a teacher, you should have the manifestation as you teach. If you're a driver of a bus, you should have the manifestation as you teach. If you're a butcher, whatever you are, if you're a doctor, you should have that same manifest glory. It's not limited. It's not limited to this thing that we've done, we've called it to be. And I believe this is what God wants to do right now. You know, the revival that is happening is not going to happen in the four walls of the church. It's going to happen in the marketplace. People are just going to be, a dentist is going to be so filled with the Holy Ghost that the person under his drill will tell him about the problems. And while he's fixing the teeth, he will be solving the problem and bringing the person to the Lord, or at least into the kingdom. Medical doctors are going to do the same. And we won't break any of the rules. All these things that are happening, that people are saying you can't preach, we're not going to be the ones preaching. We're not going to. The Spirit of God. Remember what happened under Charles Finney? When he prayed and interceded so much that the whole city, I mean, bars and grog shops all closed because people just didn't want to drink. But you see, the problem was that they didn't want to drink. Prostitutes were out of jobs. But they couldn't do anything because it is given to man that the gospel be preached. And when the gospel preached, they can now receive. Even though they had stopped drinking and they didn't know why they had stopped drinking, they couldn't make it to heaven until somebody preached. Same thing when Peter, when God told Cornelius to send for Peter to come and preach the gospel. Meanwhile, it was an angel that was talking to him because it is given to man to preach the gospel. And that's why we have to preach the gospel. But what I'm saying is that what started the conviction, Peter wasn't in Cornelius' house. Cornelius was fasting and praying, and God appeared to him and told him what to do. Once we do our part with the manifest presence and we're led by the Spirit of God in prayer, and we begin to birth his purposes as the Spirit remains upon us, then we will see them call us. They will send for us like Peter was sent for at Joppa and say, come, come tell us about your God. Come and tell us about your God. But I'm saying those of us who are in the creative industry, in the music industry, those of us who are writing scripts, those writing songs, we're going to have to let God manifest through the arts, through entertainment, through football, through basketball, through community work, through television production. We have to get away from just what we're doing right now. There must be a movie I can shoot, a comedy skit I can write that carries the glory and the power of God. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I believe I have preached your word. And I know there are some listening to me right now and wondering in their heart, if this man is right. Is this man right? Is this true? The Bible says you confirm it with sign following. And so, Lord, situations and circumstances in their lives right now that have defiled results, let those doors swing open right now. Let the favor of the Lord rest upon them. And let direction be given to them. Father, for some of them right now, I rebuke sickness and disease out of their bodies. There's some of them who need direction. There's somebody amongst us here who's desperately looking for a job. Now you're not only going to get a job, you're going to get the job you've dreamed about. Why? Because God wants to prove himself in your life. It's not just a job to tide you over, but it will be the job you've always dreamed about. And it will be a job where you will be able to manifest the glory of God. Father, I lift my brothers and my sisters up to you this day. Just come. Spirit of the living God, just come. I rebuke you, Satan. I ask for clarity in hearts. I ask for understanding. Yeah, there are many things I want to do. There are many things I need to do through you. But many do not understand what I'm doing, so they think I have to wait until they get to church to do it. But I want to manifest where you stand. I want my spirit to come upon you and manifest where you stand. Now you don't even have to speak like you will speak in church with Bible scripture, but you will speak my word. My word. And that word cannot return to me void. It will accomplish that which I put in your mouth for it to do. Thank you, Father. 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 Kisto. Esto mantakaya. Over to you, Pastor. Mankestolo notrus. Inkestolo notrutus dodo natiakaya.
Let's pray.
Manto colonata. Lepopopostora ne parananta de ta colonata. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Lord, we ask for direction. We ask for direction.
Thank you.
We ask for direction. Direction.
Thank you.
Teach us.
Thank you.
Teach us how to stand.
Thank you.
Direct us. Give us
Thank you. We give you praise. 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 Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. My ketos tolo praba. Oh, thank you. I give you praise. I give you praise, my God. I give you praise. I give you glory. I give you adoration. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, O Lord Jesus. Thank you, O Lord Jesus. Thank you, O Lord Jesus. Galuto. Ebremen tono metaforo pete lupravanete
parananda. Lord, what will
we give you praise? We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise, oh God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Manto stola papa. He became flesh and he dwelt amongst us. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We behold, we beheld his glory. The glory of only begotten Son. Manta kara sa tosto padre. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, O Lord Jesus. We give you praise, O God. 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 We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I just sense the Spirit of God is challenging every one of us at this time. Enough of us coming to church. It's time to becoming the church, being
yes.
the church,
yes.
being the church in the marketplace,
yes.
being
yes.
the church, manifest
yes.
the glory,
yes.
the presence of God in
yes.
the marketplace, in
yes.
the marketplace.
Yes. Yes.
Go ye into
yes.
the world. Go ye into the world.
Glory
and manifest.
To glory to God.
Manifest my glory, says the Lord.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We give you praise. We give you praise, oh God. We give you praise, O God. We give you praise, O God. We give you praise.
I just sense everyone should write this question down and spend some time brooding. Lord, what would you have me do? I repeat the question,
yeah.
please write
yeah.
it down, and everyone should go and brood over this.
Yeah.
Lord,
yeah.
what
you.
Would you have me do? Lord,
Thank
what
you.
Would you have me do? That's the question.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's
Thank
the
you.
Question. Lord, what would you have
Thank
me
you. Thank you.
Show me. Teach me. Speak to me.
Thank you.
Lord, what would you have to do? Father, we agree right now as touching this question.
Lord,
you will speak to every one of us in a way we can understand you. Speak even to the youngest of us. Speak to the young, speak to the old.
Thank you.
Oh Lord, when you pour out your spirit, you do not spare the male, you do not spare the female, you don't spare the young, you don't spare the old.
Thank you.
Visions, dreams, young men, visions, old men, dreams, the young, the old. You said even a little child will lead them.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Lord,
hallelujah.
We ask and we receive and we believe. You will speak to everyone individually. What would you have us do in the name of Jesus?
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, we were meant to, take some questions. I just sense it's God laying that question on our hearts. When God arrested Saul of Tarsus on that road to Damascus. That was what came out of his lips. Lord, what would you have me do? I believe we've reached that moment, that point in our lives where we are living for what God will have us do. For what we ought to do, like the sons of Issachar, who had the understanding of the times, the seasons. They knew what Israel ought to do, not what Israel wanted to do. There's a difference, people. Lord, what would you have me do? And Father, thank you for your Son, and thank you for your Spirit.
Thank you.
Thank you for the many questions in our hearts. By your Spirit, you will give answers in the name of Jesus. Pastor Francis, thank you so much. I don't know if we can still grab you for a few minutes.
Sure.
Some people may have one or two questions, but please, that's the question all of us should take. Lord, what will you have me do? Take out of this meeting and go and have that time alone with God to get answers. And if you have a question based on what we've learned tonight, we can go on the Slido quickly. Maybe we'll just take another 10-15 minutes. Slido, just hashtag Jesus. Or if you cannot go on the slide, you want to put a question on the Facebook live feed. We're live on Facebook, or you want to put it in the comments on YouTube, you can quickly type it. There's a question on Slido right now, and I'll read that. And if there are more questions, please, we can type them quickly now. So the question is the manifest presence a prerequisite for the miraculous? That's the question someone is asking here. Is the manifest presence a prerequisite for the miraculous?
I should answer now?
Yes, sir, if you are ready to.
We have to define what a miracle is. A miracle is the supernatural intervention and the natural course of things. And God being a supernatural God, anything he comes into breaks the natural course of things. I won't call it a prerequisite. I'll just say one of the big things that come with the manifestation of God's presence is miracles. A prerequisite means it's you need that to do something. No, because you can get things by faith without a manifest presence. But I'm saying you usually find that the miracles come with manifestation of God, because miracles are an intervention in the natural course of events. And because God is, anytime God shows up, if it's dark, it becomes light. So he already breaks that rule. So I won't use the word prerequisite. I would just say one of the common manifestations with the manifest presence of God is miracles.
Listen, sir, do you have like a cup of water like me?
Yeah, I need to go get
it. Handy.
You know, you have become an expert in you've been doing Zoom calls for over 1.5 years. I just started full Zoom. I had a team around me doing this for me. And now I'm all alone in Canada here. Yeah. But yes. I'll build my team eventually. Yeah. I don't have a team around me, so I have to set up lights and all that. And I didn't bother to learn the ropes properly. You know, I know that I need coffee. You know, but I'll go get it very soon.
Well, one thing I would say is that one of the people who convinced me long before the year of the COVID to get on, the use of technology, get on social media, get on Facebook, start streaming services, was yourself. you seem to be years ahead then.
Yeah.
And what is manifesting now is more of the seed you sowed. You even showed us some films. You came all the way from Ibadan. So people need to know where Ibadan is. It's a very big village in the western part of Africa, in Nigeria. Anyway, so what you're on a very serious note, I will really thank you for that great foresight. And the things you've shared tonight, my notes are just filled up. It's a challenge. It's a challenge. I don't think any questions again, please. If we have any questions, or we just need to go and chew and chew.
Okay, there's a question. If you're doing or you do not, in terms of living as light, the people are not coming to ask questions.
Okay. Let me read it to you. Let me just read it.
So I can see it. So other people can see it.
Yeah, to give you time to ruminate on the answer. It says, if you are doing all you know how to do in terms of living as light, and people are not coming to ask questions, counsel, prayers, etc., do you just carry on anyway or ask for God to do more through you? So that's the question, sir.
I'm going to start in a very canal way. When I first bought my first iPhone and I started going into the iPhone business, I used to want them to give me screen protectors for my iPhone. And Apple people would tell me, we don't need screen protectors. Our screens are very powerful. You know what I mean? It's over the years now they started adding screen protectors. There's something you got to understand, that anytime you use the word if, it's a badge of doubt.
Mm.
Anytime you use the word if, you know, for instance, if somebody would ask me to marry them, that's a badge of doubt. You know what I mean? And so let me first try to avoid that word if, because God doesn't have a plan B. Let me put it that way.
Mm.
God doesn't have a plan B. This is how he said his word works and the gospel works. So if something is not working, for instance, I tell my people all the time, we have a company back in Nigeria called DSTV. I don't know what you have. You have ITV, you have Virgin in your place over there in the UK. And in Canada here, we have, I don't know what we have really. I'm still learning the ropes. But if I put on my television and it's not working, I'm not likely to call DSTV or Virgin to say, guys, check your transmitter, it's not working. I'm going to check my receiver to see what I'm doing wrong. So one of the fundamentals you have to understand is, this is what God says, this is how his word works. I think the biggest place we have failed in this issue of living as light is we're trying to win people when it's not our job. It's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says he's the one that brings conviction.
Come on.
But we haven't learned to yield to him to know how he wants to bring conviction. And so we tend to use these formulas. You've seen people tell you, you go on the bus, there are three things you're going to ask. That's a very useful tool, too. But the ultimate tool, I remember when I told Reverend Emiko that I was coming to Canada, he said, Pastor Francis, I have only one thing to tell you. Be led by the Spirit.
Come on.
Listen to the voice of the Holy Ghost. And whatever he tells you to do, do.
Do.
You see, the question is, and then sometimes we also misunderstand some things. The Bible talks about some people are seed sowers, some people are waterers, and some people are harvesters. So don't assume that what you're doing is not working because you haven't seen the results of the way you see it. It doesn't work like that. Just do your own and trust the God who gave you that word and that direction. Sometimes when you speak, it's just seed you're planting. When somebody else speaks, it's watering that is happening. Then some other person somewhere completely different will be the one that's pulling the harvest. One of the things you guys will see as people, I don't know whether it happens in your own family as well, it's very difficult to preach to family members because they know you from your youth. So they don't really, this one is a man of God. How is that possible? You know, but what I found out is that God always uses people from outside to win our family members from us, not us. Because he knows who they will listen to. Your job is, Father, send the perfect laborer across this person's path. It doesn't have to be you. Yours is to pray for the person and then watch God. And some of these things can take years. You know? So we're just undoing strong, especially when you have to undo strongholds in people's minds. You know? Sometimes you even have to allow them to get into trouble before they find God. You know? So let's remove if from whatever we're doing as much as possible. Try to always reframe your questions without the word, because if is a badge of doubt. Number two, the people who are going to come to ask you questions, believe me, may not even be in your industry. You may be somewhere completely different. And then one of the beautiful things about social media, which everybody's saying that we should stop using, it's not possible. It's gone. Our kids are going to use it. It's learning how to use it in a positive way. By, for instance, if you, so don't forget that preaching the gospel is actually just telling your story about how Jesus saved you. And so if you too learn creative ways of telling your story, you don't have to do anything else. And use the platforms that you have. Rather than publishing the food you're going to eat tomorrow, tell an interesting story. You know, something like that. I'm just pulling your leg, but you know what I mean.
I mean, there's something you've said there. Some people might just be planting the seed.
Yeah.
Some might just be watching the seed.
Yeah.
And then some might just be harvesting.
Yeah.
At the end of it, the question is, and I think part of the problems we have at times is, who takes the glory?
Yeah, exactly.
Who takes the glory? We are talking about manifesting the glory of God. I am planting the seed.
Can I tell you a story?
Yes, sir. Go on, sir.
True story. It happened. I think either happened in Harvard or in Cambridge. I'm not sure. This young man was a born again, spirit filled Christian, and he was one day God prophetically appeared to him and told him, you're going to give your life is going to impact the school that you are in at the what they call the valedictory, so the speech they do at the end of their graduation. You know that speech that they do at the end of the graduation.
Yeah.
And so he began to pray, you know, and he was so excited about, you mean I'm going to stand in front of this school and preach the gospel? So he went on, being the Christian that he was, and then God said, okay, I want you to befriend one of the worst boys in the school. Playboy, had cars, women, everything. For almost a year, the guy wouldn't even listen to him. But a year later, he began to soften, and slowly, you know, one day he now gave his life to Christ, you know, and very close to their graduation. And at the time of the graduation, guess who they asked to come and make the speech? Not the one who got a word from the Lord, but the one that God had sent him for 2 years or 3 years to bring to the Lord. And because that one was well known and was very popular, he gets on the podium and preaches. And almost half of the school give their life to Christ. And God was just simply showing him that, yeah, you are the vessel, you are the person I used, but nobody here needs to know that you did that. Heaven knows what you did. Heaven knows what you did. I remember this movie, Gandhi. Most of you watched by Richard Attenborough. Those of you in Britain will know about this. He arrives in India from after fighting apartheid for Indians in South Africa. He arrives, but he arrives because Gandhi, being who he was, had to travel third class. And the governor, who was returning from South Africa, also arrived, but traveled first class. There was pomp and pageantry, people celebrating and welcoming him, you know. That's the governor. Meanwhile, nobody knew that Gandhi was coming out through the third class port. So nobody was there to greet him, no celebration. So one of his aides was very angry with him and like, why didn't you let us know? We would have brought all this. He says, No. This is perfect as it is. And God used that to teach me a lesson. People may celebrate people here on earth. The most important celebration you need is when you get to heaven. That wasn't his end. We have to stop looking for earthly recognition. It's of no significance. It has no weight at all.
And that word, weight,
That's no glory.
Glory. I mean, I just want to just share something that, I mean, I've just learned. You know, we pray for people, and then we see things happen. Or maybe, you know, as pastors, maybe somebody joins the church with pastor, and then, you know, by the grace of God, maybe they've had a problem for years. And I remember there was a situation like that. And, you know, by the grace of God, it happened, you know, in the church we were pastoring. And I remember Pastor Francis, God telling me, do you know how many people have been praying for these people?
Yeah.
So how far are you sure is your prayer?
Your prayer, yeah.
That humbled me, sir.
Yeah, yeah. It's very humbling, yeah.
Since then, I've learned one statement. If anybody says anything, to God
be the glory.
The glory. Let's give him all the glory. So if you are someone who's planting seed, please plant seed with the glory of God in mind.
Yeah.
If you are the waterer, water with the intention that God takes the glory. Yeah. And if you are harvesting, remember someone sowed, someone watered, you are just harvesting. Let God take all the glory.
Amen.
Wow. 1 Corinthians 3, 6 to 7, good scripture. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Thank you for that scripture. I don't think we have any question. I think everybody's just sober. Everybody's just sober. We need to just go. And let's not forget the question, Lord, what would you have me do?
Amen.
Let's shift from God, I want you to do this for me.
You know, I like that scripture you quoted. One of the things I always tell people is not only does he put the question, he gives the answer, because the response to Paul was go into the city and it will be told you what you need to do.
Wow.
So you can see that there's instruction before instruction. So it's important that we see how God responds to questions like that.
That's right.
You know, what would you have me do? Some of you may say, go back to school. Some of you may tell you, go and do that. So you need to understand that it's not, I want you to be a super evangelist who's going to wear a white suit and be...
Exactly,
you know,
sir.
You know, so I just wanted to just kind of add that just in case.
Very perfect, because what you shared tonight has got to do shifting our mindset from I'm going to church to manifest God's glory.
That's his glory, exactly. That's
the whole. Going out into the world.
Into the world to manifest his glory. Absolutely right.
Manifesting the glory, whatever domain, whatever sphere of influence. Yeah. Thank you very much, Pastor Francis.
My pleasure. My pleasure, really.
No more questions. YouTube, no questions. Facebook, no more questions. It's a good place tonight to just go and let's go to manifest the glory of God in whatever domain, sphere of life we find ourselves.